Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I bet you're glad you're here too, aren't you? It's like a dream come true for you, isn't it? That's the story I'm sticking to. And you got to be glad you hung out with us because we got a new friend. Scott Miller is with us right now. Scott is the co-founder and CEO of Move the Mountain Learning Center. And for a couple of decades, he's been training and counseling communities across this country how to understand and engage in high-impact studies to end poverty. His new book is called Until It's Gone, Ending Poverty in Our Nation, in Our Lifetime. Scott Miller, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you here. And I love the idea that you proposed in your book that you've been working on all these times. Nobody could, I can't imagine anybody saying that they wouldn't want to end poverty. Has anybody ever said that to you? Has anybody ever said, you know, I don't think that's a good idea?
Not in 20 years yet.
but you know, there is a biblical passage where Jesus said, the poor will be with us always. Right?
Right.
You've heard that passage, I'm sure.
Oh, I have. Oh, yeah. So
what do you think?
Well, I don't think that he meant that to be an excuse for indifference.
An excuse for indifference. All right, explain that.
Well, I think a lot of people listen to that message and say, "So, what can be done about it? We'll just leave it alone."
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm with you. I agree with you on that. But okay, before we get started, since the big elephant in the living room is poverty, I think probably for our purposes today.
Right.
How do you define that? Define poverty in the United States for us?
Well, our definition of poverty is that someone's in poverty if they can't meet their regular needs. I mean, they can't meet their needs on a regular basis. So
right.
For most communities, this is about 200% of the poverty guidelines. And, for example, a family of four right now is considered underneath the poverty guidelines if they earn less than $22,000. But in mm-hmm. most communities, a family of four will need somewhere between $35,000 and $45,000 a year to just meet their basic needs.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. All right. I'm going to ask you then to tell us what you think basic needs are.
Well, basic needs are certainly a roof over your head, enough food in the refrigerator, the ability to get around in a reliable transportation. People need to have clothing and access to medical care.
So those how many televisions? Needs. How much cable? How many cell phones?
Well,
I have to tell you, Scott. Let me tell you, Scott. I'm a compassionate, caring person, but perhaps you can tell I got a little bit of an attitude about this.
Right, and most people do. I think, first of all, the budget that I gave you doesn't include any entertainment, but I can right. tell you why some people who have been raised in poverty have entertainment as a higher value than we might think that they should,
right.
because they don't have enough money to pay for it, and part of that is because when we start working with families in poverty, we realize that something's happened with their future story.
And mm-hmm.
the story that we all carry around with ourselves, what's my dream? Where am I heading? Where are my
right.
goals? Why do I get up in the morning and do things? If you don't have a future story, and a lot of people in this country don't,
yeah.
Who are in poverty, then what happens is that today becomes more important than tomorrow, and
mm-hmm.
that means entertainment takes on a different level of importance than it perhaps should.
I guess one thing that I keep coming back to is I've got this attitude about people saying that, you know, it takes two to earn a living these days for families, mm-hmm. blah blah blah. You know, we something's all wrong with our society and our economy because moms can't stay home with the kids; they've got to work. Well, you know what? I don't believe that because I believe that if there's an issue with that, the issue is priorities. And so here's my question to you about poverty. Isn't some of the challenges we have with poverty in the United States an issue to some degree? And I'm not minimizing the people who really have it tough, and I know there are those people, but isn't a lot of our poverty really more a matter of priorities?
Well, I would say it's a matter of priorities on a number of levels.
Yep.
I think if you take a look at the individual family, so what should the priority be? Well, of course, you have to meet your basic needs, and you need to be out there in the community making some sort of contribution to get paid for that work. Mm-hmm. And if you're not doing that, then that's your first priority. So in our projects, what we do is we say to people, listen, you want to get out of poverty? You have to be committed to doing that. And if you're going to put some energy into that, then we'll bring some volunteers, put a team around you, and they'll mm-hmm. help you figure this out. Because one of the things we noticed, Jim, is that when we first start interviewing people who are in poverty, because our main question has been, what do you need to get out? You know, what do you need to get out of poverty? They would tell us some pretty interesting things. For example, I would say, what kind of friends do you have in your life? And what kind of money do they make? Well, mm-hmm. people in poverty are surrounded by people in poverty.
Right.
So when they network for new jobs, you know, they end up at the convenient mart instead of looking at some kind of a job
right.
that would be able to make enough money to, you know, make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's who they know, that's what they do know. And if you're in a really poor neighborhood and your whole surrounding is poor, then, you know, it's more difficult to figure out how to network your way out of all that. But then the second thing is they need education. So we ask about the educational levels. And In our college town here, we had 20% of our first group of families actually had college degrees and were still in poverty. So there you wonder, what's going on? You got this degree, but you're not able to figure it out. Well, they were first-generation college students, right? They didn't have any modeling about how you go out and get a decent job after that, so they were struggling.
So you're saying that we've got college-educated people who are still in poverty?
Oh, yeah.
And who do you think is responsible for that?
Well, ultimately, the person who's in poverty is responsible for
right.
getting out of poverty. Absolutely.
Right.
And there's a trend right now of people going to school and either picking, you know, degrees that there are no work for or
right.
just not knowing how to get into the work world.
Choices
and they end up back
priorities.
At home.
Choices and priorities.
Well, it's also information. I mean, for example, mm-hmm. we're setting up training in technical schools around the country. Now, if people are being talked into getting federal loans, for example, that they have to pay back, and they go into technical school, and there really isn't any job market for that training, now it seems like there's two people to be talking to.
Mm-hmm.
The person that got the loan and now owes the money but has no job, and the system that set up these, put the advertising out there and said, come into our world, get this training, and go get a
right.
job, when there
right.
aren't no, where there are no jobs in that field.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have... Now you have kind of a partnership.
But aren't you kind of defining these people a little bit as victims, and when really they had the choice of doing it or not doing it?
Well, sure, but they're making these decisions based on whatever information they have. So we'll talk about that.
Stand by, Scott. We'll take a quick break. Folks,
sure.
We've got Scott C. Miller. His book is Until It's Gone. We're trying to end poverty. That's his goal. End poverty in our nation, in our lifetime. And he's answering some really good questions here. 20 after... We come back. I've got what I think is the big question to ask him. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website's our smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. They're there for you. We built them for you. We made them free for you thanks to our corporate partners. All you got to do is show up and come in. We'll let you come in and hang out with us. Use our stuff. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of good stuff there. Lots of stuff there, including the show and all the other stuff. And then, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz.biz. We're visiting with our new friend, soon-to-be old friend, Scott Miller. Scott, I'm enjoying our visit. I hope you got a lot more to talk to us about and to teach us. We won't get it all done today. I hope you'll come back another day.
Well, certainly.
The book is called Until It's Gone, Ending Poverty in Our Nation in Our Lifetime. Scott, tell us how we can find the book and how we can find you.
Well, you can find me at our website, which is movethemountain.org.
All right.
And the book's right on the front page. You can just click on that to order, and you'll find the book that way.
Okay, so check it out, folks. Movethemountain.org, is that right?
Right, movethemountain.org.
Is it also at any of the online bookstores?
Sure, Amazon.com
carries it. Check them out there. Scott C. Miller, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, here's the big question, Scott. It seems to me that to some degree, a lot of the poverty we have, a lot of the people who are living in the poverty, especially as the way you define it, are
right.
there because of political correctness. We have been afraid to say what really is the problem. And the problem is an attitude about education,
Part of it, I'm convinced, Scott, part of it, especially with regard to our immigrant population, are the policies of the United States government have helped kept a lot of these people. And so there's a political correctness there where we don't really talk about what the government has done with our immigration policies that we got to get fixed. But there's a problem, to me, political correctness is where we allow people to believe, and for that belief to foster and to grow in communities that make them believe that they're victims. Now, what do you think about that?
Well, I think anything that makes any of us think that we're a victim is a problem. So in our approach, for example, when we sit down with somebody who's in poverty, the first thing we ask is, how much money do you need to make to be out of poverty? And Jim, 99 out of 100 people can't tell you that.
Yeah.
Now, I got to ask the question, how come? How come if we're in a capitalistic society, and how come people don't know capitalism? I don't understand that. I don't understand why people don't know the difference between an asset and a liability, which seems to me like the two most important words in the English language when it comes to actually surviving in our work, in our world, because you've got to know the difference between an asset and a liability. You need some financial literacy.
Which our education system has not done a good job of providing.
Well, four states, I think, now. I don't know which. I think Tennessee is one of mine, or the other three. But they have mandated financial literacy before graduating. And I think that's the direction we have to go in this country. We need to say, okay, what's most important, English and money? These are the languages to teach. And once we sit down with somebody and say, how much need to make, they'll say something naive. In fact, I addressed 400 college students at a college in Kansas a couple weeks ago, and I asked them, how much money do you need to make when you get out of school? You know what they told me? $600 a month. And I said, we're not talking about just pizza and beer. I mean, you have to pay for it. And we went down the list, and then they said, $1,000? I said, please don't have kids. If you're going to have $1,000 a month, do not have children. And heck, I told them, listen, when my parents were entering the Social Security, there were 17 people out there working to pay for that. And when I get the Social Security, it'll be closer to 3. So I don't want you guys flipping hamburgers.
That's exactly right.
But you've got to get people clear about how much I need. So once they get clear, they think, wow, my family needs $40,000 a year. Well, we're only earning $15,000 a year. I said, yeah, now we have something to do. Now you got a goal.
But it seems to me, though, Scott, what you're doing, with all due respect, I really admire what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, you can't have the impact on poverty and on the communities that need help, like a lot of the black community in black population in the United States and the Hispanic population. A lot of these folks are in poverty. Many of those groups are in poverty. They need to be hearing from people who look like them,
right?
Like Bill Cosby,
right?
Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton are not the friends. They're not should not be the spokesperson for the black community. In my opinion, there should be somebody like Bill Cosby, who should be. And yet, Bill Cosby is seen as a pariah in his own community. And now what's wrong with that picture, Scott?
Well, I think he's saying some things that people don't like to hear.
Because it's true.
Right. Well, the bottom line is people have to take responsibility for themselves. And so what we have to look at with all of our policies is that does the policy end up encouraging, rewarding, incentivizing the idea of self-responsibility? Because if it doesn't, then, as you said, we walk around feeling like victims. Now, I'll tell you, as a whole nation, many people in our culture, in our society, feel victimized by quote unquote poverty, the fact that it even exists out there. Mm-hmm. And so our whole point is, well, then let's solve it. There was just a study done by the Center for American Progress, which tapped the Urban Institute and a number of universities, spent a 2-year study, took it to the House Ways and Means Committee last year, and said, here's the price tag on raising kids in poverty in this country. You know what that amount was? $500 billion a year.
Yeah.
That we are spending on extra crime, extra health care problems, and extra reduced productivity in the workforce because kids are being raised in poverty. We got to stop doing that.
If I could make this happen, I could do it for nothing. You know what? All we'd have to do? Tell people the truth. I really believe that the truth will set them free. But they're lying to themselves, a lot of it. And I know this probably seems harsh, Scott, but I'm going to get you back another day. Will you come back another day? Let's talk about this some more.
For sure.
Thanks. Scott Miller, ladies and gentlemen, Until It's Gone is the name of the book. Quick break. Gotta go. Right back after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.